Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 4 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's episode, we are going to focus on cosmetic science, specifically the subject of skin biology. I start with skin since these are the most common types of cosmetic products. Most people who are in the cosmetic industry have backgrounds in chemistry and didn't take a lot of biology. And even if you did take biology, it's such a broad subject that I'm sure you didn't spend much time discussing the inner workings of the human skin. I was actually a biology major in college until I discovered that there were a lot fewer jobs for biologists who just had a bachelor's degree, and I quickly switched to chemistry. However, I did take a human physiology course, which went through all the human body systems and organs and how everything worked. Unfortunately, we didn't get into too much detail about skin. This is something that I had to learn after college. Anyway, knowing about the biology of skin has a number of benefits for cosmetic formulators. First, you'll get a good idea of how and why your skin products work. When you know this, you have a much easier time figuring out how to improve your products. Next, understanding skin biology can spark some new product ideas and innovative approaches to improving skin look and feel. This knowledge will also help you understand the latest published research on new topical treatments and can help you figure out if they are worth using to solve consumer problems. Finally, knowing skin biology will help you know the problems that consumers experience with skin and can give you ideas of how formulators attempt to solve these problems. In today's show, we are briefly going to cover the most important aspects of skin biology that every formulator should know. You don't have to have knowledge equivalent to that of a dermatologist, but you should have a solid understanding of skin structure, composition, and know how the skin grows. First, let's talk a little about the structure of skin. The skin has two primary layers relevant to cosmetics, including the dermis and the epidermis. There is also the subcutaneous fat layer below the dermis, in case you are curious. The dermis is the lower layer of skin where all the new skin cell growth happens. It's also where hair growth happens in follicles, but we'll save that for another episode. The epidermis is the protective upper layer of skin. Since cosmetics are designed to work primarily in the epidermal layers of the skin, we'll look into this a little more deeply. The epidermis is further subdivided into four distinct layers. These layers, from bottom to top, are the stratum basal, the stratum spinosum, the stratum granulosum, and the stratum corneum. The presence of a fifth layer, the stratum lucidum, can be seen in thicker areas of the epidermis, like on the soles of your feet. Of these layers, the one that formulators should know the most about is the stratum basal layer, also called the basal layer, and the stratum corneum. The basal layer is where the cells of the epidermis, known as keratinocytes, originate. This layer also contains the melanocytes, which are cells that produce the pigment melanin, one of the main contributors to skin color. The primary function of melanin, however, is to protect skin from UV radiation from sunlight. Throughout the epidermal layers, you'll also find Langerhans cells, which are part of the skin's immune system. These cells help detect foreign substances and defend the body against infection. But they also play a role in the development of skin allergies to ingredients found in cosmetics. The outermost epidermal layer, the stratum corneum, is the one where the cosmetics are applied. It is relatively thin and waterproof and can protect the body from most bacteria, viruses, and other foreign substances by preventing them from entering the body. It's actually quite difficult for things to penetrate skin beyond this layer, which is why claims that like 60 to 100% of cosmetic ingredients are absorbed into the body are just patently false. This is also why claims that ingredients in cosmetics can stimulate collagen and elastin production are typically false too, because even if these materials could stimulate cell metabolism, which is illegal for cosmetic products in the US, almost none of them can penetrate the epidermis to get to the dermis where the skin cell growth is happening. The dermis is a thick layer of fibrous and elastic tissue made up mostly of collagen, elastin, and fibrillin that gives the skin its flexibility and strength. This is why cosmetic marketers often mention collagen and elastin in their skin marketing product materials. The dermis contains nerve endings, sweat glands and oil glands, hair follicles, and blood vessels. It also contains the skin stem cells responsible for skin growth, which we'll talk about next. So now that we have the relevant structure, let's talk about the composition of skin and how it grows. As I mentioned previously, keratinocytes are the main type of cells in the epidermis. They begin their life as living skin stem cells located in the dermis. These cells migrate up to form the layers of the epidermis. While doing this, they undergo many changes in which they flatten out, die, and become keratin-rich corneocytes before ultimately being shed. So cells in the dermis are living, and then cells in the epidermis are actually dead tissue. During the progression of cells through the layers of the epidermis, lipids are released into the spaces between cells, and the skin's own natural moisturizing factor, or NMF, is generated. These lipids form a barrier to water loss and help retain the skin's NMF. Disruption of this liquid lipid matrix and subsequent loss of hydration can lead to dry, flaky skin. The fact that the NMF gets exposed to the environment or washed away is why you need to use moisturizing products. You create them to restore that natural moisturizing factor. The process of skin cell migration from the dermis to the epidermis and then off the body is continuous. In fact, the skin cells completely turn over within 6 to 8 weeks. This means that the skin you have right now will be completely different in about 2 months. All right, that is the basic science of skin, and when things work out perfectly, skin stays in pretty good condition. But fortunately for cosmetic formulators, things don't work out perfectly. There are a number of problems that happen, thus creating the need for skin products. The problems are many, but here are the main consumer skin products for which consumers buy cosmetics. The first problem is dry, itchy skin. It's a fact of life that in some climates, skin just won't stay moisturized. When it dries out, it becomes flaky, itchy, and just generally feels bad. Tens of thousands of lotions have been made to alleviate the problem, but nothing is long-lasting. Cosmetic formulators need to push the envelope and make moisturizers that will better relieve dry skin, last longer, and even prevent it from occurring. The company that can do this will slide their way up to the top of the skincare product market. The next problem is wrinkles. Everyone gets wrinkles, and it seems that everyone has an idea of how to get rid of them. In truth, the only topical treatment that has had moderate success is retinol. Finding new compounds and strategies for smoothing out wrinkles is really the holy grail of skincare. Right now, the industry has many stories, but few working solutions to actually address wrinkles. The number three skin problem is acne. Now, if you do nothing to the little blotches on your face, they usually clear up in a week. Use a treatment and it'll take 7 days. Now, seriously, people continue to seek better, faster ways to treat and prevent acne. There are a number of monograph ingredients, and these are ingredients that are proven to work, but there is still room for a cosmetic chemist to help formulate a longer-lasting, more effective treatment for acne. And if you can do that, you can make some good money in the anti-acne market. Number four problem is sagging skin. Gravity, age, and a reduction in the collagen production will all conspire to make our skin droop to the ground. Cosmetic chemists have tried forever to make products that fight this condition by tightening the skin. Unfortunately, nothing works nearly as well as cosmetic surgery. But that doesn't mean an invention isn't out there waiting to be discovered. So if you can come up with a formulation that does a good job preventing or addressing sagging skin, you can make a lot of money. Number 5 is age spots. These are black, brown, or gray spots that pepper the skin of older people. They are caused by sun exposure and are treated with skin bleaching products. The ultimate cosmetic would be one that prevents these marks of age from ever forming in the first place. They can be stopped with sunscreens, but ultimately, this is a problem that isn't going away, and it's looking for a cosmetic formulator to come up with a way to solve that. Speaking of skin color, the number 6 biggest problem in skincare is skin lightening. While not necessarily a problem, many people around the world would desire to have their skin, their darker skin, lightened. Hydroquinone is generally the prescription of dermatologists. Other treatments like kojic acid and with glycolic acid have been used too. Right now, none of these treatments are satisfactorily safe and effective, so there really is some room to develop new skin lightening products. The number 7 skin problem is tattoo removal. One of the most common problems people have are tattoos that they want to get rid of. What seemed like a good idea in college now looks like an ugly blotch in the real world. Chemical peels have been sold to rid the skin of tattoo, but no suitable solution, sort of surgery, has really proven to be highly effective. So that's a problem that some cosmetic chemist might be able to solve in the future. The 8th problem is eczema or dermatitis. These are actually skin diseases characterized by redness, inflammation, itching, and even more extreme conditions. Now, the specific problem should be treated by a doctor, but cosmetic scientists can help to alleviate those symptoms through the creation of moisturizing creams and safer soaps. The number 9 problem of skin is psoriasis. This is another chronic skin condition and is characterized by red scaly patches. It is actually an autoimmune disease, and as such, it is more the realm of doctors than cosmetic chemists. However, topically applied treatments are one way to relieve symptoms. So if you can make a treatment that is more effective and longer lasting, you could do well on the market. Finally, the 10th biggest skin problem is unwanted hair. The only thing worse than not having hair is growing hair in the wrong places. And since those wrong places are typically on the body in places other than the head, it makes unwanted hair removal one of the top problems in skincare. Right now, solutions focus on hair removal through harsh chemicals. Creating a gentler way to get rid of unwanted hair would be a great invention. Now, there are some honorable mentions that get mentioned a lot in these types of lists of skin problems. These include stretch marks. People are complaining about those a lot. Cellulite. Many women are looking for solutions to the problem of cellulite. And cold sores. Of course, some of these conditions are things that can only be treated with drugs, so it might be more difficult for a cosmetic formulator to come up with products that address them. Remember, cosmetics are only allowed to change the appearance of a condition. They're not allowed to treat the symptoms of a condition in any kind of medical way.
Today's challenge.
Now that you've gotten a short lesson on the biology of skin and the problems that consumers are trying to solve, here is a challenge you can try to further improve your knowledge of the cosmetic skincare market. I want you to take a look at 5 to 10 different skincare brands and see what kind of claims they are making with regards to the skin. You can go to drugstore.com, find some skincare products, and review their claims. Compile a list of 10 to 20 claims that are made about the skin product. Make note of which of the top 10 consumer problems they are trying to address. Or are they trying to address a problem that is not listed in the ones we discussed before? Now, after looking at the claims, see if you can guess what ingredient in their formula is being used to address the skin problem. What are the main functional ingredients? Start a list of these. After finishing this exercise, you will have a good sense of the skin product market, the claims that are being made, and even the technology that is used to address some of the problems. Keep this list and continue to build on it. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, we're going to discuss cosmetic testing, specifically how to determine whether a formula is stable or not. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues. Don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast playing service that you use. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help others find the show, and it does make me feel better that people are finding the information useful. If you found these podcasts helpful, please share it with anyone else that you know who might be interested. You can also follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage everyone to sign up for and to participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. You can get lots of your questions answered there. That's chemistcorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.